Welcome to the study this morning. As an introduction and an overview to our lesson this morning, what I'd like to do is read again from Acts chapter 7 and also Psalm 105. In Acts chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance." And this is going to get into our lesson this morning. "When Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers." Also in Psalm 105, and again, these passages, I'm just using these as an overview and a review of some of our material and looking at what another passage shows us about what we'll be studying today in Genesis. In Psalm 105 and verse 1, the beginning of this psalm is like one of the hymns that we sing. You'll notice the wording. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, O ye children of Jacob his chosen. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. God's not going to let his promises fail. Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, and one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." We'll look at that more in a moment. "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time came that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, and sent him and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies." Several phrases in this if you could advance the slide, I'm not sure. I had tested this beforehand and it had been working. If someone could advance the slide. Oh, it is? Oh. Oh, okay. I know. I'm sorry. That's not good. I cannot read that distance, and I had it, the VNC where showing up on my laptop. I won't be able to read that on that screen. Okay. I may not be able to read it on the fallback handout either. The letters were small. Several phrases in Psalm 105. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sake. Remember how in Genesis chapter 20, God appeared to Abimelech in a dream, and he said, "Abimelech, you're a dead man. Restore the man his wife. Restore Abraham his wife. He's a prophet, and he'll pray for you." So here in Psalm 105, he reproved kings for their sake. Another phrase, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread, verse 16. You know, as we've seen before, God's unseen hand is in it all. Remember God, you might say, in a sense, God looked down upon the earth in Genesis chapter 6, and he said, "I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh." He called for a flood. And then in Genesis 11, he looked down upon the earth, and you might say he called for a scattering of the people. And then in Genesis chapter 18, he looked down upon the earth, and here's Abraham and Sarah, and he called for them to have a son at the appropriate time. So God has his hand in this earth. So God sent a famine, but did he simply leave man to die? And no, he sent a man, as we'll see also in this reading. In verse 17, God sent a man to them, even Joseph. God sent me, but in Genesis chapter 45, and verse 7, Joseph was telling his brothers, God sent me here to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives, to save much people alive. That later on in chapter 50, Joseph mentioned to save much people alive. So not only, I believe, not only the people of Israel, of his brethren, but also the Egyptians and all of those who came to buy bread. So God sent man, God sent this man, Joseph, before them. And in verse 18, it says, whose feet they hurt with fetters. You know, we've mentioned before, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, how that all things are not good. They hurt Joseph's feet and fetters, but all things can work together for good. In Genesis chapter 42, the brothers, when they were before Joseph, they didn't realize that Joseph understood them, but they said, we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. And then later on, when Joseph named his son Ephraim, he said, God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So no, all things are not good on this earth. This is simply an earth. It's not heaven. All things are not good, but all things can work together for good to them that love the Lord. Okay, so in chapter 43, we'll look at chapter 43. And in just as an overview of this study, overview of this chapter, Jacob is out of food again. You know, he has sent the brothers down to Egypt. They had brought back food. Well, they're out of food again. The famine is still severe. So he asks his sons to return for more food. But Judah says, Dad, you don't understand. The man had some restrictions for us. He had some requirements for us. He's got to see Benjamin. If we don't take Benjamin, it's not going to do us any good. So here in chapter 43, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of the land, out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And so Judah, in this next part, he reasons with his father that the man, again, required some things of them if they were going to see his face again. In verse 3, Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If you will send our brother with us, we'll go down and buy thee food. But if you will not send him, we'll not go down. For the man has said to us, you'll not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had a brother? And they said, the man straitly asked us our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we have certainly known what he would say? Bring your brother down. We couldn't know what he was going to say, Dad. He asked us questions. Is your dad alive? Do you have a brother? How could we have known what he was going to say? And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we'll arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also all our little ones. I'll be surety for him. I'll be a guarantee, Dad, that he'll come back. And if he doesn't come back, I'll bear the blame forever. He said, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we'd return this second time. Dad, if we'd not stuck around so long, we could have been forth twice already. So Judah is committing to be a guarantee for Benjamin's return. And then in verse 11, Jacob prepares it. Well, you know, he's convinced, well, there's nothing else I can do. Got to send Benjamin down to Egypt. Okay, well, let's bring the man a gift. In verse 11, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best of the fruits of the land in your vessels. Carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand. and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again into your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take you also your brother, and arise, go again into the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I be bereaved. And so Jacob decides to send them with a gift, and he's got no other recourse. And if he's bereaved of his children, that's just the way it will be. Well, in verse 15, the brothers, they come down to Egypt, they see Joseph, and when Joseph sees Benjamin, it's an emotional time for him. But then he decides to bring them all home for dinner. In verse 15, and the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home, slay and make ready, for those men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time when we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our donkeys. You know, if I was about to become someone's slave, I'm not sure I'd worry about the donkeys, but that's what they said. You know, so they were afraid. We're in his house. He's going to fall upon us and take us. Well, the brothers, when they see the steward of the house, they start explaining to him, you know, what went on with the money. You know, they had gone down to Egypt the first time. They found their money in their sacks. They're bringing it back, and they want him to know that. So in verse 19, they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and when they communed with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, and we brought it again in our hand. You know, we didn't mean to, but we got along the way the first time. We found our money again. We're bringing it back to you. And other money we've brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And the steward says something. I don't quite understand why he said it. But he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Well, no, you didn't. You gave it back. But he said, God gave you a treasure. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet, gave their donkeys provender. And they made ready present against Joseph, came at noon. For they heard that he should eat bread there. Okay, so Joseph asked about his father. Here in this next session, he asked about how his father's doing. He sees Benjamin. And here, it's just too much for him, as we'll see. He has to run and find a place to cry. In verse 26, and when Joseph came home, they brought in the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and bowed themselves to him in the earth. And on that light, remember Joseph's dreams, how that the sheaves and the planets would bow down themselves to him. Well, so they bow down to Joseph, down to the earth, and he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, our father is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Remember the sheaves and the planets that bow down to Joseph from his dream. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother? You know, if 22 years had passed, he might want to verify. You know, I've had to verify with people, and I'm sure people had to verify with me after 20 years have passed and they see me. But so he looked at Benjamin and he said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto you, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Well, in this next section, Joseph, they prepared the feast. They're going to eat dinner. And so he seats them in the order of their age. And it amazes them. In verse 31, he washed his face and he went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them and themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him, by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Well, I mean, even Joseph is a Hebrew, right? Then they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times as much as any of them, and they drank and were merry with him. Okay, any questions or comments on chapter 43? In chapter 44, as an overview, the brothers, well, they came to buy food, they gather the food, they fill their sacks, and then they leave. But they don't realize that Joseph is going to lay a trap for them. So in chapter 44, and verse 1. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, and their donkeys. And when they were gone out of the city, and yet not far off, Joseph said unto his servant, "Up, follow after the men. When thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? And you have done evil in so doing." And so Joseph plants this trap. He tells his steward to chase them. And so the steward comes and he follows after them. And in verse 5, in verse 6, "And so he overtook them," the steward overtook them, "and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. Why are you saying this? Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of the Lord's house silver and gold?" I mean, we're giving money back to you that we thought we'd paid the first time, and we're giving all this money to you, and it doesn't make any sense. Why would we steal from the Lord's house? "With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be thy Lord's bondsmen." And the steward said, "Now let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you'll be blameless." Well, so they speedily let down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack, and he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laid at every man his donkey, and returned to the city. You can just imagine them returning to Egypt dejected, and with their knuckles dragging the ground. You know, what has gone on? What has happened? Well, Judah and his brothers face Joseph. And Joseph, in a sense, accosts them. You know, "What have you done? What's going on here?" Joseph said to them, "What deed is this that you have done? Watch you not that such a man as I can certainly divine? I've got the spirit of divination. I can tell the future. You know, someone like me, you know, what have you done? I knew what was going on." And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant." So here they're feeling the guilt of having sold Joseph into Egypt. "God found out our iniquity. Our sins have found us out. Behold, we are thy Lord's servants, both we and also with whom the cup is found." You know, so there, not only will Benjamin serve you, Lord, but every one of us will be your servants. But he said, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he'll be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace to your father. Benjamin's going to stay. All you other guys, you get up and leave. Go back home." Well, let's see. So in verse 18, Judah came near to Joseph, and he said, "Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears." "O Lord, thy servant, I pray thee, let me speak a word in thy Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh." Thou art even as Pharaoh. You remember back when Abraham approached the Lord about Sodom, and he going to plead with the Lord. You know, can there be 10 righteous found in the city of Sodom? You know how he approached the Lord. You know, don't let my Lord be angry. And he kept pleading and pleading with God. Well, here, Judah has that same type of attitude toward Joseph. And again, we remember Joseph's dreams, don't we? That they're doing obeisance to him. You know, don't let your anger burn against your servant. You're even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may lay my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father, his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, you'll not see my face any more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him of the words of my Lord. And the father said, go again, buy us a little food. And we said, we can't go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we'll go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our younger brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me 2 sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he's torn in pieces. And I saw him not since, 22 years, in fact, since he had seen Joseph. And if you take this also from me, mischief shall befall him, and you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. If I lose Benjamin too, I'm going to die. He's going to die. Now therefore, when I came to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, you know, that their lives are intertwined. If my dad doesn't see Benjamin when he comes home, he's going to die. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, he'll die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. You're going to cause my dad to die if he sees us coming back without Benjamin. For thy servant became surety for the lad. I'm a guarantee. I told my father, I'm going to bring him back, or I'll bear the guilt forever. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide. Let me stay, Dad. I mean, let me stay, Lord, sir. Let me stay, and let them go home. Let me be the bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? I can't face my dad. I go home, and my dad looks up, and he sees that Benjamin's not with me. I can't face my father. Let me stay. Peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. Well, you can just imagine the anguish of spirit that... Let's see. You can just imagine the anguish of spirit that Joseph was feeling at this point. But going back to this, some of the things that Judah brings out here. Joseph left at age 17. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh in chapter 41, verse 46. We see that. There were 7 years of plenty. And then there were into 2 years of the famine. So that's 22 years. Joseph had been gone 22 years. One thing I thought about was that God allowed Jacob to believe a lie for 22 years. That wasn't good, was it? Not good at all. Again, I'd just like to drive home the point that all things on this earth are not good. They're not good, but they can work out for good to them that love the Lord. All right, and let's see. Right. Everything was according to God's plan and at his own timing. As Brother Richter brings out, well, in chapter 40, let's see, in chapter 45, and I'm sorry, fighting with the slides, apologize. Okay, in chapter 45, Joseph is making himself known to his brothers. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood by him and cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Can you imagine all of these people in Pharaoh's house? What's that going on? What do we hear? It's Joseph, the Lord of Egypt. He's crying. So they heard Joseph cry. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer them, for they were troubled at his presence. What? We've been bowing down to this man, this Lord of Egypt, and he calling himself Joseph. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. Nothing's going to grow for 5 years. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, to preserve your lineage. God sent me to save your lives by a great deliverance. You remember, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord to all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father and say to them that thy son Joseph liveth. So Joseph is talking to his brothers, telling them not to be angry with themselves that God had sent him here. Remember back in Psalm 105, verses 16 and 17, that God called for a famine upon the land, but he sent Joseph ahead, and as we see here, to preserve life. And he tells them to tell my father of all my glory. And again, remember Joseph's dreams of them doing obeisance to him. And thou shalt go up, tell my father, and say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, thou shalt be near me, thou and all thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For there are yet 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you'll tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that you have seen, and make haste, and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. Can you just imagine 22 years of catch-up in their discussions? Well, so Joseph sends them back with gifts. Pharaoh hears of this, and he gives them wagons, and they say, you know, take all of this back, bring your father and your kinsmen with you. In verse 19, now thou art commanded, this do you, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, don't worry about what you got back there, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 donkeys laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she-donkeys laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. You used to picture maybe going on a trip and how that mom packs the car for the trip. Well, Joseph is packing for his father and his brethren. You know, here's all the stuff that you can use on the way back. So on the way down and back. And so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And a couple of different translations on that. You know, maybe don't be troubled on the way back, or don't argue, don't wrangle on the way back. But either way, the idea, you know, be at peace on the way. And so they came up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. Oh, yeah, come on, give me a break. And he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph. And you can just picture Jacob looking up past them and seeing all of these wagons and all of the things that Joseph had sent. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. There was one thing that I had missed, and this was back on chapter 44. I'd like to go back to that and look at that. You remember when Judah is bowing down to Joseph, pleading with him, you know, about you take me, not Benjamin. If we go back to my father and Benjamin's not with us, he'll die. And so as Judah was pleading with Joseph, you remember, and you probably saw it on the slide, but you remember how that Judah, early on in his life, he had hated his brother Joseph, and he had even decided to sell his brother Joseph. Maybe he had some reservation about killing him. So he said, well, sell him. But here here he's had a change of character, a change of heart. Now he's concerned about his brother Benjamin. He's concerned about his father. And later on in Genesis chapter 49, Genesis 49 and verse 8, when Jacob gave blessings to his children, here's what he said to Judah. Genesis 49 verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up and stooped down. He crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. And so Judah has the promise of the Lord really coming through his descendants. Out of him shall the scepter come. The scepter will not depart out of him, and his brethren will bow down to him. Well, in chapter 46, any comments or questions before we look at chapter 46? Have just a little bit of time left. We'll look briefly at chapter 46, the first and the last part of it. In chapter 46, God appears to Jacob in a dream. He tells him, Jacob, don't worry. I'll be with you down the way, and I'll be with you in Egypt. I'll bring to pass what I told you. So Israel took his journey with all that he had, came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifice to the Lord God of his father Isaac. And on that wording, the Lord God of his father Isaac, I don't think it's, sometimes we may see wording like that where someone says, the Lord your God, or here, the Lord of his father Isaac. It's not saying that Jacob doesn't believe in God himself. We need to be careful with accusing like that. It's just a manner of speaking. Of course he believed in God because he's offered him a sacrifice. So he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I'll go down with thee into Egypt, and also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and his sons Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and their wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, and they had gotten in the land of Canaan, came down to Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed he brought with him into Egypt. And, there's different numbers as we see as it starts enumerating the descendants of Jacob here in the middle part of chapter 46. We may see a number like 66 or 70, or later on in the book of Acts, chapter 7, 75. And, I trust that each of these numbers is accurate, but it depends on the way that the speaker, what he's including in the count of those numbers. And we don't have time to go into all of that. You can look more at that, but depending on who the speaker is including in his number, well, the number would be accurate. Although I might not be able to reverse engineer that number, but there's several numbers you'll see, but I trust that they're accurate. Well, at the end of chapter 46, Jacob and Joseph are reunited down in verse 28. And so he sent Judah before him unto Joseph. So Jacob tells Judah to go and get directions from Joseph. Come back and tell me, how do I get to Goshen? So Judah went before him to direct his face into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot, went to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren, and unto his father's house, I'll go up, and I'll show Pharaoh, and I'll say to him this. And so Joseph is telling his brothers, let's get our story straight. Let's say the same things to Pharaoh. I'll tell him that you deal with cattle, that you're shepherds. And when you see Pharaoh, he'll ask you what you do. And you tell him, we deal with cattle, we're shepherds. and he'll send you to the land of Goshen, and I'll take care of you there." So here we have an account of Joseph in this our study this morning, an account of Joseph getting his brethren down to Egypt. Later on in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 13, or earlier in Genesis 15, verse 13, you remember how that God had told Abraham that his descendants were going to be afflicted in the land of Egypt? That's what we see here in our study this morning. They get to Egypt, and they'll be afflicted. They're going to rise. God is going to make them stronger than their enemies, and they're going to have affliction. But let's go through a few things in summary and application in our study. You know, if we believe Hebrews, Acts, and Psalms, if we believe those passages that we look at, Hebrews 11, Acts 7, and Psalm 105, and we believe Genesis, those writers reference Genesis as fact. You know, we see Joseph's brother's picture, we see the guilt of sin in Joseph's brothers, but let's be reminded in Romans chapter 4, in verse 7, the blessedness of forgiveness. You know, yes, we're guilty of sin, we've all sinned, but we can be forgiven. You know, Joseph is an example of forgiveness to his brothers. Hey, you guys, don't worry about what you've done. God sent me here. It's God that was behind it. You know, so Joseph was forgiving toward his brothers. We need to be forgiving toward those that sin against us. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. And again, God's unseen hand is in the workings of this world. In Psalm 105 and verse 16, God called for a famine upon the land, and he sent Joseph ahead. God is dealing with this world. Yet, it's amazing, isn't it, that God can do all of these things, yet we have free will. God's plans cannot be thwarted. He's going to bring about his promised seed. Jacob believed a lie for 22 years. That's not good, but all things can work together for good to them that love the Lord. And again, a lesson I don't believe we can fail to miss in all of this is that, you know, verses that show that that God uses a man for a work, all those verses show is that God is using a man for a work. It doesn't show that what he's doing is right. Joseph's brothers, their lying, their selling, their mistreatment, their hatred, their envy, all of that was not right, but God used every bit of it to get Joseph into Egypt. Their actions were wrong. God used them. They were God's ministers, but what they did was wrong. We want God to use us, but we want to do what is right when God uses us. Went over just a little bit, but I appreciate your attention and your comments.